The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition, a happier, happy hour. And the returning champion, he's the Marquette University Law School pollster extraordinaire, Charles Franklin. Feels like we just saw you yesterday, Charles, but you've been busy working, my friend.
Deja vu all over again. You know, 2 days, two different polls.
I barely saw you yesterday. I got to admit, I was quite distracted by Kamala Harris and Tim Walz showing up outside my hotel with their motorcade last night, but... yesterday, Marquette polling, just a little refresher, new numbers out, top of the ticket. It's a dead heat, depending on registered or likely voters, right?
Yes, and the way to think of it is back to being a dead heat. It's 50-49 for Trump with registered voters, but it's 50-49 for Harris with likely voters. Harris leads by two if you throw in the third party candidates. So in Wisconsin, we're seeing that very close race. In comparison, we did ask people if Biden had stayed in the race, how would you have voted? Biden trailed by five there. So Harris is doing noticeably better than Biden is at this point. Clearly a step up for Democrats, but it just brings the race back to this nail biter close thing here in Wisconsin that we saw during the spring as well.
But Charles, you did national polling, not just Wisconsin-centric polling. That's what dropped today. And I found the polling stunning. We see a much bigger gap, a much bigger turn towards Harris on the national side. And I've seen this graphic on Fox News. They're quoting your polling today, Charles. I think they're stunned. Tell us about the national polling.
Yeah, and you know how you spin this is part of the game, I guess. What we see, though, is Harris up by 4 points nationally with registered voters, 52-48. When you move to likely voters, she goes up 1 point, but Trump goes down 1 point. So it's a 6 point race there, 53-47. But when you throw in the third party candidates, she does a little better with the third party candidates. She leads by six instead of four among registered voters, and she leads by eight instead of six among likely voters. So I've seen a lot of coverage focusing on the 8 point lead, and that's one of our numbers. That's totally fair. But I think it'd be good for everybody to look at this as sort of a range from a 4 point lead to as much as an 8 point lead, depending on whether it's head to head or includes third parties, and whether it's registered voters or likely voters.
But that's starting to squeeze beyond the margin of error, and that's certainly different than it was even 2 or 3 weeks ago, Charles. When Biden was the candidate, these polls were quite different, were they not, sir?
They were very different. In May, which was our last national poll, we had the race tied at 50-50 with registered, and we had Biden up by two with likely voters. So she's doing a bit better, 4 points better on the margin with registered, and she's doing also 4 to 6 points better with likely voters than Biden was doing back in May.
Now, Charles Franklin, our fine guest pollster from the Marquette University Law School poll, they've got new national polling out today. And Charles, we have seen candidates like Tammy Baldwin here in the state of Wisconsin exceeding the numbers of Joe Biden and now Kamala Harris even. you did some polling generically on the congressional races nationally, and we've got our eye on a few. We just had Rebecca Cook, one of the primary opponents, in the third. We'd like to think that's a competitive race. We think Peter Barca in the first and Brian Stiles could be a very competitive race. And we're watching the eighth with Kristen Lierley and whoever comes out on the Republican side. But nationally, how is the opinion of the voters right now in the congressional races?
Yeah, that's plus four Democrat, 52 to 48. Again, that's a little bit of a movement, a couple of points movement towards the Democrats. It was tied in May again nationally. So going from a tie to a 4-point Democratic lead, that one is certainly inside the margin of error. And that is the generic congressional ballot asking if in the election, who would you vote for Congress, the Democratic or the Republican candidate? But it does, as does the presidential race, show a little bit of a tilt in the Democratic direction. I think the thing underlying this is the really substantial increase in excitement among Democrats. In the national poll, we're seeing about a 20-point upturn among Democrats in how, when they say how they're enthusiastic to vote this fall. That had been a Republican advantage all year long, and it, if anything, fell even further during the period after the debate and before Biden dropped out. Now, Democrats are fully competitive with Republicans in enthusiasm, and that may also be boosting Harris's vote right now just a little bit. More Democrats, more enthusiastic, more of them saying they're certain they're going to vote.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got a fine guest. He is Charles Franklin, pollster from Marquette University Law School Polling. New national polling out today. Charles, I've been comparing tan lines with a few friends that were also at the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz rally in, I almost said Minneapolis. It was in Eau Claire yesterday, but the sun was shining bright. We all got cooked up and we're wearing it like a badge of honor. That's my show of enthusiasm. I look like Rudolph here. But let me ask you, have we seen the Walz effect yet? The Tim Walz effect, Governor Tim Walz from Minnesota. I mean, this polling had a start before he was rolled out as the candidate. Could we expect to see a further bump with Walz's candidacy?
Yeah, and we were finished before he was picked. So we don't have any data on him. There's been a few polls before he was picked that shows, like the other people we're talked about for VP, well over 50% don't know enough about him to have an opinion. So how he gets defined over the next couple of weeks going into the Democratic convention and how he's defined at the Democratic convention, I think will be a big thing. But I don't think there's any polling at this point that can help us understand what that image is going to be or what effect he may have on the ticket. Too soon to tell on that.
Charles, you have polled the Democratic Party's sort of affection for Kamala Harris, and are they satisfied now that Biden stepped aside and she's the top of the ticket? Mostly pretty damn satisfied, are they not, Charles?
Oh, overwhelmingly, if Democrats have been the party of disarray, I think they're now the party of array. 89% say they're either very satisfied or satisfied with her as the pick. In Wisconsin, it was 92%. So very big, whether it's state or national results, that the party really did unify around her very rapidly. Also, her favorability rating really jumped up in the national polling, going from 35% in the past to 47% now. So that is really the other payoff of the switch from Biden to Harris, is people who had a kind of pretty negative view of her, matching Joe Biden's, the negative view they had of Biden, have really taken that second look and now boosted her quite a lot. She is in the national poll 3 points more unfavorable than favorable, 47 to 50. But Trump is 8 points more unfavorable than favorable, 45 to 53. Biden, on the other hand, is minus 17 in favorability. So again, a big move to see Harris much more favorably than people saw Biden. and at the moment to see her a little more favorably than they see Trump.
Charles Franklin, how do people think that Joe Biden should proceed? You polled on the question, should he resign the presidency? What was people's opinion?
Yeah, and 56% say he should not resign. Just 31% say he should. The rest, about 13%, say they don't know. This was something that was a Republican talking point right after he withdrew. It hasn't gotten a lot of traction with the public at large, though certainly Republicans are more likely to say he should resign.
Charles Franklin, our fine guest for a few more minutes. Something surprising in the polling. Trump's favorability rating is significantly up as well, or at least I perceive it as a significant improvement through the course of polling. Since the RNC, since the assassination attempt, this is statistically some of the most favorable views people have ever had of Donald Trump, is it not?
Well, yes, and he did go up about 3 or so points in favorability after the convention in this new poll, which is after the convention. And his job approval as president went up just a smidgen. I think, though, that the bounce from the convention might have been higher if it hadn't been completely overwhelmed by the news of Biden withdrawing and the focus on Harris for the last couple of weeks. But I do think that people should be aware that Trump was as far down on favorability as negative 36% more unfavorable than favorable back towards the end of 2022. He has slowly but steadily improved that to the point where he's now at a negative 8. So, and that's not an outlier. That's consistent over all of the polling that steady shift has been taking place. So people should not think that he's terribly unpopular. He's improved a lot over this last year and a half or 2 years.
Let's talk about J.D. Vance, the new VP choice of the Republicans. While there's time, Charles, last minute, what do people think of J.D. Vance?
Basically the same net favorability as they have towards Trump, but a whole lot more don't have an opinion of him. 23% don't have an opinion. Among Republicans, though, 75% are call him either an excellent or a good choice for vice president. So again, within the party, they're fairly unified about him. But outside the party, people are much more skeptical, including independents who are skeptical of him.
I'm not sure if he helped their ticket. And we'll find out about Tim Walz. But Charles Franklin, always appreciate when you make time for us. And new polling coming out tomorrow. Charles, Supreme Court polling.
Supreme Court polling, how do we feel about the big cases that were decided this year? I can confidently predict that'll get less attention than the one today and yesterday.
Perhaps. Charles, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming around last couple days.
Thank you.
More Devils on the other side.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. Another fine guest, got to thank him. Charles Franklin, last couple days. Wednesday, New Marquette University Law School polling in Wisconsin shows it's a very tight race. But the national polling that dropped today and had the jaws dropping on Fox News, Marquette poll shows Kamala Harris is starting to whoop Trump's ass head-to-head. And when you throw in the third parties, she's got as much as an 8-point lead with likely voters. That is a stunning reversal in the polling. I'm just saying. Don't see that much. I did see what is my new favorite license plate this morning. I pulled off the interstate. I was coming back from Eau Claire. And I see this car. And I'm like, does that say what I think it says? So I followed this guy into a McDonald's. And I purposefully drove around the building just so I could take a picture of his license plate. And if you've never liked us or followed us at the Devil's Advocates Radio on Facebook, maybe you should do so, because there's some fine stuff up there. I put up some rally photos from yesterday, and I put up this guy's license plate. And first and foremost, he's a Engineer Local 139 member, union guy, shout out. And it's a Wisconsin plate. and it's yellow and it's black. And it says, IHATGOP. I hate the GOP. It's pretty obvious. I try to jam one. I do have personalized plates. Mine are two devils. But I try to put something like that on when Scott Walker was the governor. And I can tell you, they did not accept me down at the DOT. But I admire this guy. I hate the GOP. And he's got his Wisconsin operating engineers. And he's renewed for 2025. So well done, sir. Got himself a Big Mac or something this morning in Black River Falls. My new license plate. New favorite, anyways. I did see a guy, and I love it when we get to meet people from the audience. If you'll recall, Chris from Rice Lake, shout out Chris. I had plans last night to go out with Chris. And I will tell you, Rich, as long a day as yesterday became, with a few shenanigans with the tech and a few things going wrong, and then the Secret Service showed up right outside our hotel, I was dying to figure out, where'd I tell Chris I was going to meet him at? Because it'd been like 3 days since I read his message. Hey, man. And what he had messaged me is, I'll meet you at the wigwam. The wigwam. That's what I couldn't remember last night. And I even texted, like on our text line, I put the text, Chris from Rice Lake. And I thought I was searching, so I couldn't find this thing. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this poor bastard's drinking alone. And I've left him. I don't like not, you know, doing what I say I'm going to do. So Chris showed up at the Oxbell, and I happened to be in the lobby bar / restaurant, and they were doing an open mic night last night, and people playing guitar and all kinds of stuff. And I see this guy wearing a green shirt come through, sort of a buzz cut kind of guy, tall, skinny. And apparently it was Chris looking for yours truly, because I'd stiffed him, right? And he kind of had with a, he later admitted to me, kind of came over a little miffed, because he had warned him at the wigwam, like, well, if Crudy shows up, there might be others that come to the wigwam. And I don't know if anyone came looking for me at the wigwam last night, but I could tell I kind of let Chris down, you know, like he was going to introduce his radio buddy around at the wigwam, and I couldn't for the life of me remember what I had promised to meet this guy at. So luckily, Chris came down to where we were, and I bought him one, and you know, they didn't have my favored rum, so I had a drink off menu, but I had a very expensive Cosmo on our friend Chris from Rice Lake. Thank you, Chris. And he stuck around for probably an hour or more, got to know him better. Real nice guy, postal guy, works at the post office. Postal has come to be a different thing through the years. He seemed quite reasonable, pragmatic even. But Chris said he's known us back since the Milwaukee days. I'm thinking, man, it's always great to meet a guy who doesn't think you're a bad guy and then introduce him to your wife. Hey, tell him I'm not a bad guy, hon. Tell him, Chris, tell her. So anyways, he said mostly good things, except the whole stiffing him at the wigwam. Seemed a little miffed about that. Sorry, man. Next time I'll remember, because now I got wigwam stuck in my head. Cool guy, though. Nice to meet you, Chris. And you can meet me right here on the radio dial at 844-967-2789. And the great news, it's a phone number, but it's also a text line. I know many of you have been texting in, including Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. I see you often, Tyler. I know you're a relatively clever guy. Breaking news in a 6-4 decision, and I knew it was a little off. I knew Tyler was pulling my leg, if you will, because there's 9 Supreme Court justices. In a 6-4 decision, the United States Supreme Court has ruled that furniture is people. I think he's talking to you, J.D. Vance. Tom from New Berlin, as I pointed out, Wisco Paul trashed me at the Barrymore Theater event, pre-trashed me to his daughter, said nice things about Dom. Oh, he's so handsome. He's like a handsome leprechaun. He's a midget. Come on, you can't be 5'6" and handsome. Not Chippendale's handsome. They have standards. So I wouldn't pick on Dom in his absence, but, you know, Paulie evoked him. And then he told his, well, I guess he claims, he called up on the radio and he claims Mrs. Wisco had told their daughter who attended the show that night, and Crudy looks like the guy who collects the tickets out front of the Chippendales dancer show. I did have to DJ one in college, and those women were ready to kill me because I didn't do very well. Forget what the point was. Wasn't a good one, apparently. Tom from New Berlin said, Crudy, you look dashing at the debate at the Barrymore. Maybe it was a long way to go for that. Also, I understand Wisconsin Teamsters support Rebecca Cook. She was a earlier guest. What else we got? Oh, yeah. Here's Chris from Rice Lake. Crudy, thanks for taking time to visit. I hope I didn't cause any waves between you and Mrs. Crudy. No. No, you didn't cause them. I like to keep, you know, that boat a rocket. Always got to have some waves on my lake. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Make some waves. Call us. 844-967-2789. A Wednesday happier happy hour. And we finally got some negative on Governor Tim Walz. We'll tell you about his military record and see if it should matter to you.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday Happier Happy Hour. Rolling through it. Always happier when you join. 844-967-2789. I saw this on the text line about an hour ago. I hope the texter from WAUK, who texted in, hey fellas, longtime listener, love the show. Well, you have excellent taste. WTF are the righty whitey talk radio MAGAs talking about with Tim Walz's military record? Well, your crazy cousin, your Uncle MAGA, all those people are going to start crapping on this guy, right? Because they think they see a chink in his armor. And in fact, J.D. Vance started the cavalcade of trash talking about Tim Walz's military record. So I'm going to share a little bit so you are informed and you can make your own opinions. Donald Trump's running mate, I reference CNN here. Donald Trump's running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, stepped up his attacks on Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's portrayal of his military career, accusing him of ducking service in Iraq when he left the Army National Guard and ran for Congress in 2005. Now, Vance also accused Walz of falsely claiming he had served in a combat zone while the Democratic vice presidential nominee was in the Army National Guard. And while Walz retired 2 months before his unit received alert orders to deploy to Iraq, the attack on Walz's military record are part of the race from both parties to define the relatively unknown governor after he was tapped Tuesday as VP Kamala Harris's running mate. That was this Tuesday. Today is Thursday. That was 2 days ago. Well, hurry up and define him, right? Walz's 24-year military service is one of several facets of his background that appeal to voters that the Harris campaign is trying to reach with his selection and that Republicans are trying to blunt by painting him as an out-of-touch liberal. Walz and Vance, the two VP candidates, are both military veterans, unlike their running mates. And Walz served in the Army National Guard for 24 years before retiring in 2005. Now, we played a lot of his speech the other day when they rolled him out in Philadelphia. I was in Eau Claire yesterday. I heard him again talk about his military record, Walz. Now, he retired in 2005. He launched a campaign for Congress in Minnesota's 1st Congressional District that year and was elected in November of 2006. At a campaign stop in Michigan on Wednesday, Vance accused Walz of abandoning his unit before it deployed to Iraq in 2006. Now, here's a quote from, you know, the couch lover, allegedly. When the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the army and allowed his unit to go without him. Now, let's see if we can get some facts here. Walz filed paperwork with the Federal Elections Commission as a candidate for Congress on February 10, 2005. It was the next month after the Guard announced a possible deployment to Iraq within 2 years, Walz's campaign issued a statement saying he intended to stay in the race. I do not yet know if my artillery unit will be part of this mobilization, and I am unable to comment further on specifics of the deployment. That's what Walz said in March of 2005. As Command Sergeant Major, I have a responsibility not only to ready my battalion for Iraq, but also to serve if called on. I am dedicated to serving my country to the best of my ability, whether that is in D.C. or in Iraq. I don't want to speculate on what shape my campaign will take if I'm deployed, but I have no plans to drop out of the race. I am fortunate to have a strong group of enthusiastic supporters and a very dedicated and intelligent wife. Both will be a major part of my campaign, whether I am in Minnesota or Iraq. So, guy's getting ready to run for Congress. He retires after 24 years from the National Guard, because that's a big commitment. A lot of weekends, couple weeks in the summer. Don't have time to do both. And then it becomes apparent his Guard unit could get called up, and he does not, go with them. So, here is more from CNN. Walz retired from the Army National Guard in May of 2005, according to the Minnesota National Guard. In a 2009 interview for the Library of Congress, Walz said he left the Guard to focus full-time on running for Congress, citing concerns with trying to serve at the same time, and the Hatch Act, which limits political activities for federal employees. Now, service members often submit their paperwork for retirement months before their retirement date. It's unclear when Walz submitted his papers for retirement. The Harris campaign didn't respond to this article. Here are a couple of things I've heard, just so you know. What's out there? What's Foxy News saying? They're saying three things. One, he abandoned his unit. I don't think that's an accurate portrayal. Two, they're saying that Tim Walz stole valor, claimed he served in, I forget what it was called, Operation Desert Storm, but didn't serve in the theater of war. And at one time, I believe in 2018, during the course of a speech talking about weapons of war, said effectively, you know, I was in a war with weapons of war, and we don't need these on the streets. We don't need these in the classroom. Well, technically, he was never in a theater of war, although he trained, apparently, troops to go do that. Finally, my understanding is there is an issue about how he represented his final rank in the National Guard. His final rank was apparently one rank below what he had claimed on his resume. So, Command Sergeant Major, and he was Staff Sergeant Major, or whatever the case may be. He is the highest ranking enlisted man ever to rise to a position of this sort. In the U.S. Congress, he was the highest ranking enlisted man ever to serve in the U.S. Congress. But whatever rank it is he represented himself to be upon retirement, E9, E10, whatever that was, he was technically one rank below that. Now I have the opposite thing. I retired as a E3, and somewhere they promoted me to an E4. So technically I'm specialist scrutiny. I'm very special. You can tell. 844-967-2789. So, did he serve in a theater of war? No. Did he leave a false implication? Did he steal valor? Only in that he held up a sign that said, I'm a veteran of Operation Desert Storm, or whatever the case may be, implying, perhaps, if you read it as such, that he was deployed and he was not deployed. And I cannot tell you why there is some incongruence in what he represented his retirement rank to be. I don't know. I don't know why that is. Maybe he was promised a bump upon retirement, meaning that they would give him a higher retirement benefit based upon a higher retirement grade. And usually it's enlisted. It's a numerical number. And there's a corresponding pay grade that you get based on that rank. I don't know. That part is not yet been clarified to my satisfaction. But they're definitely talking about it, meaning that Walls is on the campaign stumping as a military veteran makes it integral to what he describes. And I can tell you, for those that have served, and I absolutely could not steal any valor because there was nothing valetorious about my service. I just did training. I joined in a time of war, but I never got sent to a foreign theater. So I've never claimed to be a veteran of a foreign war. Hell, when people stand up in the movie theater or whatever, Independence Day, hey, got any veterans here in the crowd? I don't usually even stand up unless my wife nudges me three times because I don't see it as being the same thing. So I can understand if there's some question about whether or not this guy, you know, those that served in his unit, they certainly have the right to question it. And I hate to say this, but J.D. Vance, if he is a veteran, a Marine veteran that served in a foreign theater during time of war, probably has got a little more to say about it than the average Joe on the street. So I hate to tell you that this criticism coming from Vance probably has some credibility, at least for some veterans. But whether or not it's a big deal, don't know yet. Don't know. But everybody's got something, and this might be Tim Vance's chink in the armor. Tim Walls, my bad. J.D. Vance has got lots of chinks in his armor and a few in the couch cushions. 844-967-2789. L.A. Tom, how you doing, fella?
I am so sick of these people. Seriously. They did the same thing with John Kerry and the Swift boat thing. This is, they have nothing new.
But you don't know that this is the same circumstance. John Kerry was,
from what I know, is anybody that goes into the military is considered a veteran, aren't they?
Well, you're a veteran, but veterans of foreign wars is a different, bigger deal. You know, VFW.
I don't believe a single word that comes out of JD Weirdo's mouth, who tells a 7-year-old to shut the hell up, who apparently has funds with couches. You know, I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of all of their stuff that they try to get people on. I want to talk about policies.
Buddy, you're talking about, let me stop you here for a second, Tom. You are playing the game too, man, because you're talking about J.D. Vance on the couch, and we all know that that probably didn't happen, but it's still fun to talk about, right? Well, how can you?
I don't know. I mean, he wrote about it in a book. I don't know.
Okay, but if Tim Walls indeed has been less than fully transparent about his military record, that could be part of his history as well, dude. I mean, politicians sort of...
I think Tim Walls is a pretty open book. And I don't think that you're going to have someone that's going to be doing Oppo research and all this stuff on these different candidates and find something like this because they know what the Republicans are going to go after. I mean, we got a guy that's a 34 felony indicted guy, and we're talking about, I just can't. I'll be honest, I can't. I'd rather talk about health care. I'd rather talk about a woman's right to choose. I'd rather talk about money in politics. I'd rather talk about all the different things rather than all of these shiny little things that they always come up with that they think is, I just find them disgusting. They don't talk anything about Social Security or Medicare or anything like that. All they talk about is tax cuts for billionaires. That's their whole shtick.
Well, Tom, you're not wrong about that. It is their campaign's job to find the faults in Tim Walls and Kamala Harris, for that matter, and then make them stick, right? Diminish your opponent. Just like we're diminishing J.D. Vance, just like we diminished Donald Trump. It's their job, yes, individually, to talk about policies. I mean, I heard Tim Walz talking about policies he believes in. We should, and there's a op-ed at the Washington Post today, saying we should follow the policies of the great state of Minnesota that Tim Walz rolled out, his actually policy choices. are physically prudent, they're family friendly, and they've served the state of Minnesota well. But John Kerry was a war hero that was completely miscast and swift-boated, right? The guy's career record was completely misconstrued in the press. And I'm not clear that that is what has happened to Tim Walz yet. We'll see what happens from here. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think Trump was so far from wrong when he said, people don't vote for the vice president. You're voting for me. I don't need to like you, but I need your vote. Trump said something like that as well. So, am I going to vote for J.D. Vance because he's a war hero? Hell to the no. And would I refuse to vote for Tim Walz because he failed to serve in a foreign theater? No. He signed up 24 years, man. Anytime up till then, they could have shipped his ass off and he would not have had a say. So, you know, circumstance of when the war start or end, you can't blame that on the individual soldier. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Your calls could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. The text line lighting up. Apparently, Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman, has been out there publicly defending Tim Walz and his record, and some of you are doing so as well. Folks, I can only report what's in front of me, and obviously it's a three-hour show, man. I can't put out every detail of every person that's offered an opinion on this up until now, but you can offer yours, 844-967-2789. Going to the phones, Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Crudy, I would be really hesitant to describe Mr. Vance as a war hero, particularly because he doesn't describe himself that way.
I called John Kerry a war hero, and if I said J.D. Vance was a war hero, I may have misspoke. But he did serve in a theater overseas, which for those of us that are in the military, I draw a distinction. You serve stateside or I had a buddy who went to Germany. That ain't the same as being in Iraq or Afghanistan. I got friends that got shipped and they served their time in the desert. That to me means more than me sitting at the NCO club drinking beer in San Antonio, Texas.
Well, one could also argue, I've got a dear friend who was in the Army and went through terrible times in Vietnam and was talking just yesterday about the fact that there's a huge difference between those people who are actually seeing combat and those people in a theater who don't see any bullets at all. And Mr. Vance said about his time, he was there for 6 months as a military journalist, and he said, I was lucky to escape any real fighting. And he said that in his 2016 memoir. So I would, they're serving overseas and they're serving while the bullets are flying. Two very different things. And I don't think you can describe it as heroic merely because you're serving in the theater if you're not dodging bullets. Frankly, I just don't think you can. Because you can be a stevedore, you can be driving a truck, you can be, preparing food. All of those are very important to the war effort, but they are not heroic. I wouldn't put it as heroic. And I wanted to make one last point, Crudy.
Sure.
I know your time's short here, but the other point that I wanted to make had to do with Vote Vets, a longtime veteran organization, says about Mr. Walz. The first comment is that he knew he was going to deploy to to Iraq, and he retired before that time. They say that he submitted his retirement request to the Army National Guard months before notification of the deployment. And there's a difference, and I'm sure you know this, there's a thought we may be deployed, and then there is official deployment, which could change between that time before you get official deployment. And then it's months before you deploy, and at least it was for his circumstance. And the other part is where they say he used a rank that he hadn't attained, and that's stolen valor. The Minnesota National Guard says, they say that is not accurate. They say the Minnesota National Guard, the organization that he worked for, says it's entirely accurate to describe him as having been a command sergeant major, the rank under which he served, and they emphasize this, in public statements, he can be referred to as such. So I'm going to take the word of the Minnesota National Guard before I'm going to take the word of J.D. Vance. Sorry, that's how I feel. And he's no war hero. Yes, he served, and that's commendable, but that's not the same as being a war hero. Thanks, Crudy. Really appreciate everything.
Thanks, Joe. I don't disagree. Going is not the same as being a war hero. I did not go, nor was I a war hero, but I do give deference to those that served overseas. You know, when you sign up, you can't always pick. And Joe, talking about changing orders, the Friday before I graduated from AIT, Advanced Individual Training, the where you learn your job in the military. First, you go to basic training, then you get taught your specialty. Well, I was a combat medic, and I was learning how to go to a theater of war in 1990. And all the people that graduated on Friday got sent to a theater of war. They got sent to Iraq en masse. Always need more combat medics. Tuesday of the week I graduated, which would have been the following Friday, orders changed. And my orders were to go serve wherever my unit was. And I was a National Guard, I was a reservist, U.S. Army reservist, attached to Sparta, Wisconsin, which is an NCO training academy. All they were doing was sitting out at Fort McCoy in Sparta. So I didn't go. But people that graduated on the same day as me, if their unit was in Iraq, they went to Iraq. It changes really quickly. But I've never tried to claim any sort of valor. There was none to be claimed. Mostly empty beer cans. 844-967-2789. Jake from Stoughton, you get the last word today, Jake.
Yeah, I just want to echo what the previous caller said. I read the same newspaper article online today that confirmed the commander of the Minnesota National Guard said it was entirely appropriate to call him Master Command Sergeant. Or Command Master Sergeant, excuse me, and that he resigned basically to run for governor months before that unit was ever deployed.
Jake, I think he ran for Congress. Want to make sure we get the facts out there, but thank you for helping to correct or clarify, because this issue, we ain't done with it, folks. We'll be ranting about it on Friday when we air the grievances up in here. Thank you to my fine guest on this Thursday afternoon, Rebecca Cook, a fine candidate for the 3rd CD. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. Two no's on the constitutional amendments. And also, Charles Franklin, New Market University Law School national polling that shows Kamala Harris starting to pull away from Donald Trump. Here in Wisconsin, very close. Like a coin flip. Rich and I will be doing this again for your listening pleasure and informing you, I hope, maybe, try to inform you. I cannot read every article every day and put them all out there at once. I do my best. That's why you listen. Trying to be reasonable, trying to get all points of view out there. But this is the new attack on Tim Walz. I just thought you should know it's out there. Do your own research. It's worth the Google. Thanks, Rich. Have a great night, everyone. See you on Friday.